Morning, everyone. If you notice on the bulletin, I don't know that Holly even knows it yet, but Jason is speaking in 2 weeks, so anyone that would like to come, I'm not speaking that day, so feel more than welcome to come. We switched for various reasons. It was easier just for me to speak this week. So. Good. I think most everyone knows. If you didn't, we got the email from Mr. Kellers, and Janie let us know at the feast that Don Todd did pass away while we were at the feast. I really hate that his wife called me the Sabbath before the feast and said that he could not hook up that day. But please let everyone know that he needed our prayers because he was in really bad shape. And I didn't call her back, so I really feel bad about that. And then 2 days later, I find out that he passed away. We were not at services that day, so I didn't get the message till after church. So Mr. Todd listened in for, 10 years, Clark? Last 10 years every week. And very strong man. So I know his reward is sealed. So just a wonderful example to all of us. Get on with the split sermon. Well, I don't like speaking second because Tim started speaking. I thought, oh, shoot, he's stealing half of my scriptures. But fortunately, it didn't work out. They seemed to dovetail a little bit. So I think that will work out. But we just spent several days getting a very, very small picture of what God's kingdom is going to be like. And it's so difficult to now go and fight this world. We'll fight it again. It's just very frustrating, but we know we have to, don't we? To start this out, I'd like you to turn to John 18. John 18 and verse 36. Jesus, he was talking to Pilate at this time. He answered, said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." So his servants, which we should represent, are not of this world. This is the title of this, if Eric or Mr. Perryman needs one. In this world, not of this world. That would be the title of this today. So we are in this world, but we are not of this world. As Christ just mentioned, his servants would not fight. It's going to be very difficult to remain faithful, given what we fight in the world. And as we know, it will continue to get worse. It's going to be very difficult to remain faithful, to fight to the end. As Paul said, I've fought the good fight. That's what we want. That's what we're seeking. It's becoming more difficult. And every generation, I see how difficult it is. It's getting more and more difficult. We're going to look at a few statistics, not necessarily numbers, but just some different nations, some of the what their viewpoints are on various aspects of this world, as well as look at what this next generation is going to face. But remember, we're not of this world. But we have to fight it. We have to be in this world, so we have to fight against some of the things that we see every day. I want to look at something today. I glanced at something called the USAbortionClock.org. You can go on it. It's just like the World Debt Clock. It scrolls numbers, and to see how fast they actually go just sickens you completely. This, according to this USAbortionClock.org, abortions in the world since 1980. Does anyone have any idea how many there have been? I was shocked. 1.35 billion since 1980 children aborted in this world. In the United States, since Roe v. Wade in 1973, 58,337,000 children. And if you look at this clock in the world, it's like 3 every second. In the United States, 1 every couple of seconds. It's 1, 2. There's another child aborted. That's where we are right now. In the United States, according to the Heritage Foundation, 5 states allow any minor, any age, to have an abortion with no consent whatsoever from parents. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a broken finger, anything that involves medical help at all, but you have to go through hoop after hoop just to get consent to be worked on. And yet some major surgery, which involves what we know as murdering a baby, they don't even have to let the parents know. They don't have to let the parents know in five of these states. Other states, they're iffy. There are a few states, especially down here in the South, where it is you have to have both parents' consent. But looking at the world, as we're about to see, I mean, we're way behind what the world actually believes. We're so far backward, and we just have no reason to believe the way we do. In South Africa, any woman of any age can get an abortion on request with no reasons given if she is less than 13 weeks pregnant. A woman under the age of 18 will be advised to consult her parents, but she can decide not to inform or consult them if she chooses. Anyone. South Africa. And remember these countries. Just remember, try to speculate the progress of these countries. In Sweden, the current legislation is the Abortion Act of 1974. This states that up until the end of the 18th week of the pregnancy, the choice of an abortion is entirely up to the woman for any reason whatsoever. The law makes no distinction with regards to the age of the pregnant woman. So again, no parents have to be involved in this. Any age can be 11 years old. New Zealand has no parental notification restrictions on under 16 access for abortion. Under 16. None. And yet, if my daughter breaks her finger, we have to go through and sign all kinds of consent forms just to allow them to fix that. But an abortion, none. France. A pregnant girl under the age of 18 may ask for an abortion without consulting her parents first, but she has to be accompanied to the clinic by an adult. But that adult can be anyone of her choice. No matter who it is, it can be anyone in the world. United Kingdom. If the girl is seen as competent by medical staff, no disclosure to the parents is just not allowed. Period. No disclosure to the parents is allowed if they consider her competent. In most cases, girls aged 13 or above will be covered by this provision, but preteens, isn't this wonderful? Preteens will not, and parents, social workers, and police can become involved to protect the child. Around 120 12-year-olds, at least 5 11-year-olds, and 2 9-year-olds have had legal abortions in the United Kingdom since 1996. In 2005, Sue Axon of Manchester, again in the United Kingdom, wanted the law changed to prevent girls under 16 getting confidential advice. However, the High Court, which is their Supreme Court, had rejected a review of guidelines which state that terminations do not need parents' consent and doctors should respect girls' confidentiality. Their highest court ruled that parents did not need to be involved in this. Now think about these countries that I just mentioned. South Africa, New Zealand, United Kingdom, France. What do they have in common? In the world's political, or not political, but economic world. These are the most developed countries in the world. These aren't, as was lesser developed or third world used to be the term, third world countries. These are the most advanced. These are the ones that our country looks to a lot of times, and say we need to get with the program and get with some of these countries. That's what we live in. Yes, we have wonderful advances, technology and stuff, but we live in a world like this. Are we in this world or of this world? After what we just saw, what the feast represents, are we in this world or of this world? Now, what does God say about this? Because the word abortion is not in the Bible. You know that. Let's turn to Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. God is talking to Jeremiah here, and he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." We know that not everyone is a prophet to the nations. We know not everyone is ordained. But let me ask you, did God know Jeremiah? And yet these, what will be, and this is probably the end of this year, 1.5 billion babies. He just turned his back and doesn't know those children. No, he knows every hair on our head. He knows these babies. It's not what God wanted. It's clearly not God's world. But yet, 1.5 billion babies? That's shocking. What are we, a country of 300 million? We're talking four, five, six times, five times. How many people live in this country? There's the babies that have been aborted in this world. Is this God's world? No, but we have to live in it, don't we? We have to live in it. Just one aspect, abortion. You can take so many different aspects. It's sickening, but that's one aspect. What about politics? Many people think we have the best political system in the world. Is this buzzing loud? Do we have the best political system in the world? Maybe. Which doesn't say much for the world, does it? It says how sorry we actually are in the world. What does God say about politics? What does he say at all? Let's look at Daniel 4. Should we become involved in politics at a national level? Is there any reason to? Do we have any idea what God actually wants? Daniel 4, verse 17 says, "This decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men." God does choose our leaders. Like it or not, he chooses our leaders. Some people say, I'm going to vote. That's fine. But it still comes down to God chooses our leaders. I don't know if I necessarily want to cast a vote against what God actually wants because I don't know what God wants. I can say what I want. It doesn't make any difference. You got one side here, one side there. Has it made any difference other than make it worse, no matter who's up there? It's man's government. It's not God's government. And again, at the end of this verse, it says, "and sets over it the lowest of men." It doesn't matter who's up there. Now, how do you look at our political leaders? Time.com did a breakdown on the leaders, the congressional members. The average net worth for House members is $900,000. Say, okay, that's quite a bit, but it's not that much. I mean, there are a lot of people that now are millionaires. It's not as big as it was 10 years ago. Democrats, you take one side's more than the other. Democrats average $929,000. Republicans, $884,000. There's no big difference there. And for senators, the average senators were $2.5 million. Democrats, $1.7 million. Republicans, $2.9 million. You're not seeing a big difference on one side or the other on that. The average senator, the median worth per senator was 2.5. The average senator is worth over $8 million. Median and average are different. Now, how can these men or women be out to help the poor, pitiful people known as us? Unless it's election time, then we're constituents and they love us all, don't they? But how can they help us? Martha Stewart, what was that, 2008 or 9, went to prison for 5 months for insider trading. She didn't make that much. She actually sold so she wouldn't lose $30,000 or something, which to her, she was close to worth $1 billion. That's no big deal. But she spent 5 months in prison. Every single congressman and senator is exempt from any prosecution due to insider trading. They cannot be prosecuted for profiting from whatever they know is about to come down the line. 60 Minutes did an expose in right after the Martha Stewart deal and exposed this. So, boy, they all jumped out. We've got to put a stop to this. We've got to put a stop to this. So they changed the law. And then they all held these press conferences and talked about how we put a stop to this. We're no longer going to allow this. Well, they failed to mention the loopholes that they put in this. They are not allowed to solely benefit from any of these transactions. If they know a new road is coming through somewhere, they may not go out and buy that property. There's a nice little loophole, but say I'm a congressman, but Nevlin can go buy it. And there's no prosecution whatsoever. Now, they cannot solely benefit, so if three or four of them want to get together and buy land also, that's okay, because it's not a single person property. Forgot to mention those loopholes come election time. They kind of forgot that. So, is this God's government? If this is the best in the world, is this God's government? Again, are we of this world? Or in this world. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Whenever we get involved in something, and it's easy to do, to get involved in something that's going on in this world, it's easy to turn to Hebrews 11, realize what God wants from people. Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. I know this is the faith chapter. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Were they of this world? I don't think so. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. These are people that lived in this world, but they were not of this world. This is what we're seeking, is it not? We should be removed from, yes, we're sickened by stuff like abortion. We're disgusted by government leaders who corrupt. But we have to live in this world. We have to deal with it, but we don't have to be a part of this world. Now, we do have a promise of this much greater world. We just went through all of the fall holidays. And we see just a very small representation. But I wonder, as I remember, compared to what my parents went through in high school, yeah, we had it a little rougher because the world had degraded a little bit. But compared to what our kids see, I had it easy. Most of us my age, we had it easy compared to what they do today. Let's just look at a few examples of what they see today. Primetime television, the four-letter word that starts with S, and I'm not going to say any of this stuff, was used for the first time on network television in 1999 with no repercussions. A couple of stations had used it before, and they got fined. But 1999, Chicago Hope, it's one of these hospital shows, used it for one time, no repercussions. 1999, 2001. A television show, 2 years later, used that same word in 1 hour episode 162 times. In 2 years, went from taking a chance with it once on a show to 162 times on one show. No repercussions whatsoever. Now, go forward 10 years to 2012. I remember when this happened, but they're not willing to push it too far yet. The Supreme Court ruled. This was after the Janet Jackson deal, and that went to court where, you know, if you remember that, there's no use in going into that. But
The Supreme Court ruled that the FCC no longer had any right to fine any network for language or nudity. No matter what they show, they had no right to fine or prosecute any network due to language or nudity. Now, some of the networks just won't push it yet because they don't want to the downfall of the people. But it's coming. It's a matter of time. And we've seen, is it much worse than it was 10 years ago? Yes. You can't turn on a TV show without the most popular person being what? The homosexual, funny person that everyone wants to be just like. You can't go 5 minutes without hearing some language that we certainly shouldn't hear. Andy Griffith's gone, isn't he? No more Andy Griffiths. I turned it on in class the other day, and the kids were laughing at it. That's just stupid. We don't want to see that. No, they don't want to see it. They want to see whatever disgusting stuff they grew up with. Watch it on television. Walk through the halls of high school today. I wish everyone would have the opportunity to walk through the high school when bell rings and they've got 3 minutes in the halls and just listen. The language you hear would blow your mind. I don't care if you work construction, which I have, and thought I've heard everything in the world. These 16-year-olds could say words that I don't know how they even dreamed it up. They made up words. It's unbelievable. Now, because of the county and a recent law with same-sex marriages, our local Rutherford County handbook for all teachers is being changed right now. If we hear a student say something derogatory about homosexuals, same-sex marriage, something like that, they are to be immediately sent up to administration, and they will be suspended for hate speech. That's not in the pipeline now, or it's not actual in effect yet, but it's in the pipeline. It's within a year or two. Automatic hate speech, automatically, just like if you swung, took a punch at somebody, it's automatic suspension right there. Is this our world? Are we of this world or in this world? I had a interim job last year to show you, just give you an idea of what high schools are like, and this is what our kids and the young ones are going to face. Big guy, he's 6'4", 260, all-state football player. Well, he's a stud-looking guy, big, monstrous guy. But he wouldn't listen to me in class, and I'd get onto him every single day. So he just stormed out one day. It was on Friday, and about 5 minutes later, an assistant principal called me outside. Can you come out here for a minute? And I was fed up. I thought, okay, if I leave, but I'm mad with this. And she told me, you know how it is. Exactly what she told me. He's got a big football game tonight, and we don't want to upset him. And I told her at that time, Dalton had just bought a puppy. I said, man, we've got a three-month-old puppy that if I tell no, he knows, and you're telling me this kid can't. And she rolled her eyes as though that's just the way it is. That's what our kids get to go to high school with. Even at our age, that didn't happen. But that's what they face every day. That's what they face. Look at the music the kids listen to today. Yes, we had Madonna, and yes, she was shocking. But what Madonna did at that time, people wouldn't even blink their eyes today with what Madonna did back then. A lot of the music, we get into rap, but I'm not getting into that at all because of the language in rap is just unbelievable. But it denigrates women. And it makes sex almost appear as though that's all that exists. That's the pastime of every student in the world, if you listen to this music. That's all it is. When you've got Miley Cyrus, you've got Kanye West, they're the role models. They're the ones that are the most popular. We've got problems. We've got real problems. Katy Perry. I couldn't believe this was 2008. That's 7 years ago now. She recorded a song a few years ago. And it was entitled, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. It's about a girl that kissed another girl. It was number one for 7 weeks in a row. Number one in the entire country. Talks about her getting drunk and making out with another girl. Won't go into the whole course, but the conclusion of the song the end of it is, us girls, we are so magical, soft skin, red lips, so kissable, hard to resist, so touchable, too good to deny it, and the last line, ain't no big deal, it's innocent. Ain't no big deal, it's innocent. That's what our kids grew up with, is this kind of garbage. And it's just fine because this is the number one song for 7 weeks in a row. No big deal. Are we in this world or are we of this world? Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verses 13 and 14. It says, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Keep that in mind for just a minute. These little children, for theirs, such as these, are the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you a story about a guy named Dave Pelzer. I've talked about him before. He wrote the series of books. The first one was a bestseller called A Child Called It. He told the story of growing up. At the time, it was the second or third worst, I don't remember now, case of child abuse in the state of California. He was locked in a basement. He was called It. His mother would not call him by his name. She routinely tortured him, would stick his face right next to the oven until it cooked and blistered, would force his head down into bleach. Just unbelievably brutal. You couldn't believe it. And after reading the story, I have no doubt that his mother was demon-possessed because of just an automatic change. But, of course, the book doesn't mention that. She had mental problems. But when he was a little child, and this is why I've always thought Christ means this, no matter what he did, and he would do nothing wrong, and she would turn on him and do something to torture him. But his one thought was, how can I get my mom to love me? What can I do? It was never, it's not my fault. It just happened. That's what a little child is. And that's what we've tried to raise. Now, Dave Pelzer's second book is called The Lost Boy. That's Morgan, is that right? The Lost Boy is the second. And it tells his teenage years. Well, he starts getting, he's rescued eventually. In the second book, he goes through orphanages, foster homes. But his attitude changes. And a lot of his attitude changes because of some of the kids he's around in these foster homes. You know, they steal, so he picks up stealing, all of that. Yes, we realize we have to have our kids in schools, even private schools. I know some kids from some of these private schools that I'm shocked with how they act now. They're 20 years old. It's you can do what you can, but it's still this world. It doesn't matter. It's still this world. We don't have just our own little world that we can live in because we have to fight this every day. But this example, when Dave Pelzer was a little kid, that's the attitude that Christ is talking about. No matter what, it's still, what can I do to do better? How can I do better? That's what Christ wants, is that humility. Now, how do we raise our kids to be like that when we know they do change? How many of us were smarter when we were 18 than we are now? I was a whole lot smarter. Knocked in the head about 10 times, you figure out, well, I'm really stupid, you know? But we're all, yes, we know everyone goes through that. But on top of that, that we know we probably all experienced, that we were a lot smarter than mom, dad, they've got to go through this garbage that they do day in, day out. You can't turn the TV on without this crap that's on. They have to do this. It's more difficult, and it's going to be more difficult as more and more laws become enforced against beliefs such as ours. People say, what's wrong with you people? Again, are we of this world or in this world? Let's turn to Romans 12:2. Begin to wind up here. Romans 12:2. Again, this reminds us, yes, we're in this world, but we're not to be of it. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to live in it, but we don't have to conform to it, do we? We can be removed from it in that sense. There's a song by someone, my wife does not like his voice whatsoever. His name is Aaron Tippin. He lives up in Cookeville. And I really like him, but she thinks he's too nasally and bluegrass and all that. But he has a song called You Got to Stand for Something or You'll Fall for Anything. And part of the chorus actually says, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. It could be God's name in this case. We could put that. You've got to stand for something or you fall for anything. That's the chorus. We've got to stand up in this world for what we believe. What's our family name? I mean, we hope it's right with God, do we not? That's our family. We've got to stand up. We cannot fall for all of this mess that we see, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. This last Supreme Court ruling changed the whole dynamic of schools. I don't think my kids can go through Oakland High School without seeing two guys or two girls holding hands through the halls, and there's not a thing anyone's going to say about it. That's life, and we have to learn to deal with it because we're the bigots and we're the ones that are wrong. Let's conclude with John 17. Going to read several verses. We do this at Passover every year, but think about it from this sense that we're not of this world, or we're in this world, we're not of this world. I'm sorry. John 17, verse 6 through 19. It says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. He's talking about his disciples as he prayed to God. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Is that not what we're attempting to be? We're attempting to be his disciples. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. He should be talking about us in this scripture. He should be talking about the way that we're attempting to follow Christ. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your world, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Again, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And Christ is praying here that keep us away from all of this. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Brother, we live in this world. Disgusting, horrible world if you really look at it. Yes, we have it made, don't we? More than any generation ever in history. You could pull your phone out right now and get how many versions of the Bible if you wanted. Pick up a Bible. We have so much access to God's way that no other generation has ever had. And yet, look at this decay that's all around us. Look how much worse all of it is getting. I can only imagine what it's going to be when these guys, if it lasts that long, what it's going to be like when our kids grow up. Before Christ returns, it's going to get worse. And he says it will. But that's the one reason that we must be of this world. I've said it so many times. We must be in this world, but not of this world.